wherever you are, a clap offering to our Lord, a clap offering to the Most High God, a clap offering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a clap offering to the Savior of your soul, a clap offering to the great provider, a clap offering to the great physician, a clap offering to the great deliverer, a clap offering to the great and only potentate, a clap offering to the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Worship him with your hands, somebody. May the Lord accept our worship in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. This is a living church, and we have come to worship the living God. And there are characteristics of living things. Our God is a God of reaction. He said he has not called the sons of Jacob to seek him in vain. And the topic of my exhortation tonight is preparing for Holy Ghost baptism. Preparation is the mother of performance. Right preparation for anything will produce right results. And the wrong preparation for anything will produce wrong results. Preparation is the mother of performance. Not just the mother alone, even the father of performance. A wise man summed it up by saying, proper preparation will prevent poor performance. Somebody say amen. Proper preparation will prevent poor performance. Somebody say amen. In order to succeed in any endeavor of life, we must prepare rightly. Because proper preparation will prevent poor performance. And the bride of Christ around the world is undergoing a 21 days journey to prepare for Holy Ghost baptism. My brothers and sisters, we must properly prepare for what you are believing God for. One of the most controversial topics in Christendom today is the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is one of the most erroneous teachings, one of the most controversial topics. And if we believe we have the original, if we believe God is giving us the original in this ministry, then we must properly approach this topic so that we will not just be on hunger strike for 21 days. Amen. We must prepare properly. How will it be that after 21 days of waiting on the Lord, then there's nothing like Holy Ghost baptism in your life? What has those 21 days of waiting, what has it achieved for you spiritually? God is more willing to give you the Holy Ghost than you are more willing to receive from him. God is more willing to baptize anyone with the Holy Ghost than you are more willing to ask from him. But the problem is a lack of proper preparation. Praise God. Proper preparation is necessary. If our fasting, if our waiting will not be in vain. My brothers and sisters, in this ministry, we can boldly say that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed fairy tales, but we are following the original truth. We are following the original word, the original seed that bears fruit. Amen. So proper preparation is necessary. Like I said earlier, God has a formula for everything. Don't just expect to come during the camp and think the Holy Ghost will just fall on you like that. No. Praise God. If you do not prepare properly, you might end up receiving only an anointing and not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you are going to have the original baptism of the Holy Ghost, proper preparation is necessary. Praise God. And we see a type in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. We can learn a principle from the story of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 30 to 38. We are going to read. Please follow keenly and learn a principle. Some of us have been attending June camps for the past years, and by the judgment of the word of God, even by your own judgment, you know you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The problem is not that you are not fasting. The problem could be in lack of proper preparation. Amen. Proper preparation. Whatever we discuss today, let this key be in your mind, that proper preparation prevents poor performance, even in spiritual things. 1 Kings 18, from verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Follow this story, you learn something. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Verse 35. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now follow from verse 36. And it came to pass at the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Now, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and every other thing. My brothers and sisters, the fire did not just fall. Elijah prepared for the fire to fall. There was some preparations Elijah made before Elijah could call down fire, and heaven will respond by fire. Elijah prepared. For instance, in verse 30, let's have verse 30 on the screen. The Bible says he repaired the altar of the Lord. Verse 30, that was broken down. That is part of the preparation. Elijah did not just come and say, Father, you have anointed me. I am a prophet. Fire, come. He said he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It is only in Christianity that we think we can approach God anyhow and expect positive results. You don't approach God anyhow. There's always a due order, a formula in working with God. There's always God's chosen, God's provided way, God's formula in approaching him. For instance, you cannot be believing God for prosperity and your hands are very tight. You are stingy. It will never work. There's always a seed to sow. There's always something to do. There's always a way to follow before God will ever react to anything you are doing. Amen. First preparation, Elijah repaired the altar that was broken down. He didn't stop there. And in building it, we see in verse 31 and 32, the Bible said he picked 12 stones. Verse 31 and 32, representing the 12 tribes. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Verse 32. And with the stones, he did what? He built an altar in the name of the Lord. Are you seeing Elijah's preparation? God of Elijah, send down fire. No. Don't claim the benefit Elijah claimed if you do not follow the preparation he followed. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. I'm going somewhere. I want you to learn a principle. Verse 36. He didn't just call upon God at any time. Let's have verse 36. The Bible said it was at a specific time he called upon God. At the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was a reason he did so. Are you seeing Elijah's preparation? Why did he wait till the offering of the evening sacrifice? There was a reason he did so. And finally, look at the kind of prayer he offered in verse 36 and 37. Verse 36 and 37. He did not. Let's see verse 37. Hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back. You never saw Elijah that they may know that I am the servant of God. He never said so. That they may know that I am anointed. He never said so. Look at the prayer he offered in 36 and 37. Then, as a result of the preparation that Elijah made, the fire of God could fall from heaven freely. Praise God. Let's learn this principle from Elijah. You are believing God for Holy Ghost baptism. If you don't prepare properly for it, the 21 days will come and end, and you will not receive any Holy Ghost baptism. Praise God. Galatians 6:7 says, God cannot be mocked. It says, be not deceived. Galatians 6:7. God cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you don't prepare properly for the Holy Ghost baptism, you might come that day and fall under anointing and shout, fire, fire. And after the camp, the fire will leave you. Let's be sincere. Many of us have been attending these camps for years. But can you sincerely say you have had an encounter that has gone through the test of time and you are still benefiting from that encounter? You see many people come for Holy Ghost baptism and they run up and down. They'll shout fire. Some of them are chained. And after the camp, after the program, you expect to see some form of transformation. And then you still see them continuing the way they're doing. It shows clearly that they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. My brother and sister, God's greatest gift, God's most expensive gift, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he doesn't just give it anyhow. Don't forget that God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you today and collect it back tomorrow. The Bible says his gifts and callings are without repentance. So if God knows he's going to give you the Holy Ghost, he's giving you the Holy Ghost for eternity, for forever. In fact, you're already a part of him, such that you are a part of God. That is the meaning. So he won't just give you the Holy Ghost anyhow. You must prepare for it. Praise God. You must prepare for it. Lack of preparation is what will make some receive anointing and not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Of course, we've been taught properly in this ministry that there's a difference between the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the baptism. But you cannot say you are preparing for Holy Ghost baptism and you don't even understand who the Holy Ghost is. Praise God. You cannot say you are preparing for Holy Ghost baptism and you don't even know or understand who the Holy Ghost is. Don't think you come that day and the pastor will say, begin to say after me, ba 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 ba. No. If you have such a thought, put that aside. Don't think you come that day and when you fall down, that means you have received the Holy Ghost. No. Part of preparing for the baptism of the Holy Ghost is knowing who he is. Because if you do not know what you are praying for, one, how will you know when you receive it? Two, how will you even have enough faith to receive that thing? Praise God. If you don't know what you are praying for, how will you know when you have received it? Or how will you have enough faith to receive that thing? In preparing for Holy Ghost baptism, the first preparation is knowing who the Holy Ghost is. Praise the Lord. Can you ask the person by your right, do you know who the Holy Ghost is? Am I communicating? Everywhere is quiet. If you can hear me from the back, say amen. But you did not respond to what I said you should do. Ask your neighbor, do you know who the Holy Ghost is? Ask your neighbor again and get an answer from that neighbor. Brother, sister, do you know who the Holy Ghost is? In a few words, let's understand who the Holy Ghost is. I'm not teaching. One, I define the Holy Ghost as a taste of heaven. A taste of heaven. In Psalm 34 verse 8, we see what the psalmist say. Psalm 34 verse 8. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I define the Holy Ghost as a taste of heaven. The Holy Ghost is the evidence that heaven is real. The Holy Ghost is the evidence that this heaven is real and that Jesus is the way to that heaven. Why do I say the Holy Ghost is a taste of heaven? Let's go to Numbers 13. The book of Numbers chapter 13, and let's learn something. Do you know that before God could bring his children into the promised land, he gave them the fruit of the promised land to taste of? Praise God. Before God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, he sent some spies and they brought the fruit of the promised land and they tasted of it. That is a type of who the Holy Ghost is. It's a taste of heaven. That is why the songwriter says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Praise God. If you have genuinely received the Holy Ghost, you are no more asking a question whether heaven is real. Praise God. You are already evidence that heaven is real. Praise God. You are already the evidence that heaven is so real. It's not more a question of, is there heaven or, it's not more a question, you are no more tossed to and fro, you are no more guessing. You have an assurance that heaven is real and that heaven is sweet if you have genuinely received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Numbers 13, let's do some reading. A taste of heaven. Numbers chapter 13 from verse 1, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses, learn something from this story, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them. Verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. Where are they? In the wilderness. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Okay, go on. Okay, verse 15. Of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Maki. Now, verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and do what? Bring of the fruits of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rob, as men cometh to Amat. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishah, verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and did what? Cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Verse 25, finally, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Do you see a principle here? They were still in the wilderness, and God has promised them a promised land. And God said, send down men, let them bring of the fruits of that promised land. And they brought of the fruit, and the people saw and they tasted. They saw that, yes, this land indeed is beautiful. This land indeed is real. This land indeed is as true as God said it will be. That is exactly who the Holy Ghost is. When you say you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have tasted of heaven. Praise God. You see why the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes beyond ba 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 ske 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 ske. You see why the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes beyond even a gift and an anointing you operate. It's a taste of heaven. You have an assurance of heaven. You have an assurance of not just heaven, but of heaven and its sweetness. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is a taste. That is why the songwriter said, like I said earlier on, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste of heaven. A taste of heaven. That is why we say, when you have received the Holy Ghost, you are eternally saved. Because you can never taste of heaven and be hungry of air fire again. You can't taste of heaven and still be hungry of the world. You cannot taste of heaven and be hungry of hell. There is something you taste when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that words cannot express. There's something you taste that is beyond the greatest pleasure on this earth. The Holy Ghost is a taste of heaven. Praise God. We must know who he is so that we can properly prepare for him. Two, the Holy Ghost is the power of God's grace. Don't mind me, I chose my words. I did not read this from any book. This is who I know the Holy Ghost to be that I'm sharing with us. The Holy Ghost is the power of God's grace. We've been taught what grace is. God giving ability. God's ability working in you. That's the meaning of grace. Now, the Holy Ghost is that amazing grace of God. We are told the story of amazing grace by Brother Abraham. That once upon a time in a land, there was a king. And this king had a son. It was his only child. The prince of the country. And one day the prince was just on his own. And somewhere came from nowhere. Someone came from nowhere and murdered the prince. Oh, what chaos everywhere. All the military, the soldiers of the land looked hunted for that murderer and arrested him. But they didn't just kill him. They were a land, a country that had laws. Everything must be done by the law. So they kept him in ward, kept him in prison, didn't feed him, didn't give him water, did not give him anything. He was abandoned. He was thirsty, dying, just left him that way, torturing him, dealing with him, waiting for the judgment to be passed so that he could be executed. But one day, the prince came out from his palace, entered his limousine and went to the prison. And said they should take him to that prisoner, and they took him there. And the king said, I have just one question for you. Why did you kill my son? And this man looked, he could barely talk, has not drank water for days, and said, it's just my own evil ways. I killed him because I was jealous of him. No, I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry now I've realized my wrongs. I only wish I could bring him back again. Really broken and remorseful. And he, just told the king, consoled the king, he's sorry, repented of his wrongdoing. And the king stood up and went out and told them, destroy all the records. Wash him up, feed him, clothe him. I'll send a limousine and bring him to my palace. He said, from this day, he becomes my son. Now, that is the power of grace. That is what grace does. In John chapter 1 verse 12, what does the Bible say? The book of John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Brothers and sisters, there's the power to become a child of God. That is the power of God's grace. Praise God. Now, this power is not received by coming to the altar and saying, I believe, I believe. From this day, I accept you, Lord Jesus Christ. Write my name in the book of life and remove it from the book of death. No. This power comes by a definite encounter called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not film trick. See, the problem is that most of us are false witnesses of Christ. We claim we have received the Holy Ghost when, in sincerity, you have not truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Can a woman be 9 months pregnant? In fact, can a woman deliver a child and not know it? Please answer me. Maybe I don't know. Sisters, mothers, can you deliver a child and not know you have delivered? Please answer me. Sisters, can you hear me? Sisters are not responding. What's the matter? Sisters, say amen. Hey, some sisters, they vex so. Sister, say amen. Can you, mommy, can you deliver a child and not know that you have delivered a child?
No.
It is not possible. You can't say you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost And you can't speak of any transformation in you since you received the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God's grace. If the grace of God, the grace of that king, could turn that prisoner, that murderer, to become the son of the king, that is what the Holy Ghost also does in our lives. We condemned sinners, condemned criminals. The Holy Ghost will make us sons and daughters of God. Praise God. Don't claim you're a son of God or a daughter of God until you have truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is also what? The rest for the believer. Matthew 11:28. The Holy Ghost is the rest for the believer. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll do what? Give you rest. In Hebrews 4:9-11. Hebrews 4:9-11. We see God talking about the rest. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What does he mean by rest? He says, Christ, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. This rest for the believer means that you will no longer struggle to serve God. Praise God. It means you will no longer struggle to serve God. It means that serving God becomes an automatic expression in you. Praise God. You are not working up yourself to resist fornication. You are not working up yourself to resist pride. You are not working up yourself to resist covetousness. It becomes automatic. Because what? Your nature is changed. Amen. The Holy Ghost is that rest for that believer struggling to please God. That is why there's a difference between repentance and conversion. Many of us repent and we think we are converted. No, you can repent today, backslide, somersault, backflip tomorrow. But when you are converted, you are forever converted. There's a vast difference. Before the upper room, Peter and the other apostles, they had repented. They were walking with Jesus. But they were not yet converted. Luke 22. Let's see a story in Luke chapter 22. Peter had repented, walking with Jesus for the past 3.5 years. But because he had not entered into that rest, he was not yet converted. Luke chapter 22. And from verse 31. Let's learn something from the story of Peter. Why we are learning all these things is for you to examine your own experience. Nobody receives any award. When the pastor says, if you have received the Holy Ghost, stand up. He's not giving you any award. Why not be sure? You don't assume salvation. Nobody will clap for you that you have received the Holy Ghost. They know they give award. They know they give price. Your salvation is for you and you alone. Let's be sincere with ourselves. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith. Be sure, be certain that you are truly saved, that you are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. Don't worry, because if you don't have it, okay, I'll get there. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art what? Please, let's chorus it together. And when thou art, I'm not hearing the sisters. The sisters are very cold today. And when thou art, he has been an apostle for 3.5 years. And Jesus is telling him, when you are converted. Definitely, Peter was no more fornicating. Peter had forsaken all, even his job as a fisherman, and was working with the Lord Jesus. And yet, Jesus is still telling him, when you are converted, don't forget that he had given them anointing to cast out devils and heal the sick. Yet, he's saying, when you are converted. That means there's a vast difference between conversion and repentance. We hear stories of people that say, I backslided. you were serving Christ before. Of a sudden, you stopped serving Christ. You went back into the world. You went back. That is not the way a Christian backslides. Oh, that one is not backsliding. That one, you have somersaulted out of grace. That is not the backsliding of a true Christian. A true Christian will never backslide away from serving God. Praise God. So let's cross-check our experiences. If you are truly converted, you cannot backslide out of Christ. You are serving God before, then you went back to the way of life. You don't even stop going to church. You just stop calling upon Jesus. You became worse than you were before. You were never converted. Apostle Paul referred to them as dogs. Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter 2, he said, as a dog returneth back to her vomit, so have they gone back to their ways. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So there's a difference between repentance and conversion. The Holy Ghost is that rest. That is why Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2:13. No, let's start from verse 12 so that we can learn something. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. He did not say work for. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Then verse 13 says what? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is the rest. When God says he has given you the Holy Ghost, God has called you to a life of rest. You are no more struggling that, if I don't do myself one way, I will fall into sin. If I don't do, let me tell you something. Before I received the Holy Ghost, I used to be afraid to shake a sister. Before I received the Holy Ghost. Because I thought if I'm not sanctified enough, I might fall. Praise God. But after I received the Holy Ghost, and I can boldly say I received the Holy Ghost. After I received the Holy Ghost, what am I afraid of is shaking a sister. Praise the Lord. Because I'm coming close to her, I'm not thinking evil thought about her. My body is not dominating me. That is a life of rest. Praise the living God. So when there's still a form of struggling in you, have you seen holiness believers today? All these holiness believing churches. You can see how some of them are very strict. You can see, in fact, in some holiness believing churches, you can't even go and approach a sister and say you want to marry her. You must go through the pastor. And pastor, I've seen the Lord has laid it in my heart, or the Lord has led me to a sister. Then pastor will organize meeting between the both of you. Holiness believing church. Now that's man-made holiness. If you have the Holy Ghost, a brother should be bold enough to approach the sister the Lord has led him to. And they should be able to have a relationship without fornication. I courted my wife before I married her. I didn't see her pants till her wedding night. In fact, a brother should be able to court a sister and know nobody is here in the case of fornication. And please, that doesn't mean you will go beyond, because we see some people that claim liberty, and they take it beyond anything. No. I'm saying that the Holy Ghost will coordinate your behavior. The Holy Ghost baptism is a life of rest. You don't struggle. There's no fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, my Father, Father, Abba, Father. So please, take your own experience and examine. Have you truly been baptized with the Holy Ghost? It's nothing to be ashamed of, but it is something to be sincere and truthful about. Nobody is receiving any earthly award for receiving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is way more than that. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is the eternal life himself. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is the eternal life himself. John 3:16. Everybody can recite John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. This eternal life is not by confession. Praise the Lord. You don't receive eternal life by saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to church. No. You don't receive eternal life by confessing Jesus. Eternal life is something. If the Holy Ghost is the taste of heaven, then the Holy Ghost is also what? Eternal life. He made that promise in John 3:16. But I want you to know that they didn't receive eternal life until Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Until the day of Pentecost. So when you think, see, when you say, if I die now, I'm going to heaven, it is not by guesswork. You don't assume or believe unto, I believe if I die now, I'll go to heaven. No. Everybody that has graduated properly from a university has a certificate. If you have received eternal life, you have the certificate. Praise God. Eternal life is not an assumption. It's not, I believe. It's not a confession of faith. It is not the way it's being taught in Christendom today. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. No. That is not eternal life. If that is the eternal life you are hanging on, you've been played spiritual 419. Eternal life is something you receive. It's a definite encounter. It is the life of God coming inside of you. You know it when you have it. Nobody can prophesy the Holy Ghost over you. Nobody can proclaim the Holy Ghost over you. The Holy Ghost is something you have, and you have the assurance of it. Praise God. If you are still guessing whether you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have it. If you are still guessing, not yet sure, in my own opinion, you don't have it. You must be sure. You don't assume the Holy Ghost. So is that promised eternal life? On Thursday, I was with a foster mother of mine. I lived in a house some time ago. And her mother died last year, and they had to do a year remembrance. And she was saying something. Because the woman died at the age of 81. While in America, she was on life support. So she told them, in fact, the doctor said she doesn't have hope anymore, that they have to remove the life support. And she was telling them, I'm ready to meet my maker. Let me go. I'm ready to meet my maker. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there is no hope of resurrection. You will never be judged by how good you lived on earth. Salvation is whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. Because in Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies. That is why the pastor has taught us that the Holy Ghost is the hope of resurrection. You don't guess it. If you die without the Holy Ghost, no matter how generous, no matter how good you are, you will not resurrect. You will not rise up. Heaven is not your portion. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3, even though I give all, 1 Corinthians 13 3, let's read it. Let's see the statement Apostle Paul made. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, what a good man. Though I give my body to be burned, that means you are even martyred for Jesus. You even died for him. And have not charity. It profited me what? Nothing. If you study well, you discover that charity there is the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, no matter how good you lived on the earth, no matter the tithes and offerings you paid, no matter the charity you did, no matter the good works you did, you will never go to heaven. So we are supposed to, you are supposed to take a position of, is either I get this Holy Ghost or die trying. Why I'm talking this way is because many of us are approaching this subject of the Holy Ghost, nonchalantly. You don't even care about it. You see it as, I still come to church, that means I'm saved. No. If all your coming to church does not give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your coming to church is a waste. We must wake up. It has been said over and over again in this ministry. Teachers have taught and pointed to us who the Holy Ghost is. No Holy Ghost, no heaven.